Greetings in the name of Jesus today, our Savior who is alive, who is at our Father's right hand, interceding for us. We have a lot to be thankful for today. There's many people who trust in a person who has died, and they're counting on them to intercede for them and before the face of God. But we want to trust in a Savior who is alive forever, evermore. Well, I was talking to Brother Vernon Martin at conference. He's planning on coming here another 2 weeks or so, I guess, for our revivals. And as I heard his schedule for the next 2 weeks, I told him, well, I think you're going to need some prayer work done for you. And he agreed. And so I'll just share that with you all. He has a busy 2 weeks. Some of it wasn't planned for. And he is going to be here and there and everywhere. So pray for him and his work and as he prepares to come here and preach the word here with us. So just mention that there for your thoughts and your prayers. Well, hopefully your minds aren't too full to take some more yet. And I just have a couple thoughts that I've been thinking about here the last number of weeks. And I don't know, as I was sitting here this morning, I wondered how spiritual it was. And hopefully it's upbuilding for us all. But it's in regards to our family, as I observed and watched our family the last number of weeks, I was like, well, I wonder if we need some work done in our home. And so I got thinking about that, and yeah, we do need some help. But it's on this thought of being considerate. I'd like to just think a little bit about that this morning. And if you don't have family, you don't have to necessarily write it off. It's not just for you if you have children, it's for us all. It affects us all. Being inconsiderate is something that it's pretty easy just to sort of slide into without really thinking much about it or even being aware of our actions and our words and even our thoughts. And sometimes all we need is to be reminded again that the Lord wants us to be considerate and kind. And we've all witnessed people who have been inconsiderate. You don't have to drive on the road very long before you witness that. And whether somebody will cut you off or you come to a four-way stop sign and two people go through at the same time right behind each other. It's all over the place, inconsiderate. And we can see that out there in the public sphere. People are selfish. And it's easy for us to see it out there, but it really works itself down into our own lives and into our own homes, those thoughts and those actions. So what does it mean to be considerate? And one definition that I found that I liked, it says to show kindly awareness in regards for another's feelings or circumstances. To show kindly awareness in regard for another's feelings or circumstances. So we have kindness, we have awareness, and we have regard or concern for other people, for another person's feelings, for how they may feel. Considerate has the root word consider in it, and that has the idea of thinking or thoughtful. And so that's the idea that is implied by consider it, that you're thoughtful of other people, that you're more concerned about other people than you are yourself. So you can turn to Philippians chapter 2, just for a couple verses here. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll just jump in here at verse 3. to see what Paul tells us, how we should live, how we should act, how we should talk. Verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And so we have Paul here lifting up Jesus as our perfect example of how we should live, how we should be considerate of other people. And obviously we want to walk like Christ walked, but we will make mistakes in that walk, and we need to acknowledge that and say that we're sorry. But in verse 3, Paul says, "Let nothing be done through selfishness." Do nothing through selfishness, but in humility, regard or consider others before yourself. And so I guess I'm asking myself, and I ask you, if you have a considerate attitude towards your wife and your husband and your children and your brothers and sisters here this morning and the people you work with and people you meet in town and whoever else comes into your life, what is the thoughts that go through our minds? Being considerate of each other is a practical way that Christian love works itself out in our lives. And if you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first two descriptions of love in that chapter is love is kind and love is patient. And those are characteristics that we want to grow in our lives as Christians. In Romans chapter 12, just read a couple of verses there. Paul again is speaking to us, and in verse 9, he says, "Let love be without dissimulation, or let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another." So how are we doing giving others preference this morning? How kindly affectioned are you to your brother and to your sister and to your wife and to your husband and to your children? Are we giving them the preference? Do we esteem them? Do we prefer them? Sometimes we can just get a little careless in this area of being considerate of other people. And as I was thinking about this, you know, I would catch myself in the last just couple of days, you know, just little things like my wife is talking to me, and I mean, I'm sort of listening, but my mind is like somewhere completely another place. And that's inconsiderate. She needs my full attention, and I need to be man enough to block out whatever else was going on in my head at that time and listen. And this is how these things work. It's just small things that start to creep into our lives day by day, especially with those that are close to us. Now we end up being not real concerned about the people that are the closest to us. And that's not how I want to be. I want my family to know that I do care about them, and I take time for them, and I want to listen to them. I want to be there for them. I want to honor them. Why is it so hard to do that? It's because I'm selfish, that's why. I want to give myself the preference, not somebody else. They're intruding into my time, into my space, and I don't want to deal with it right now. But it's really root cause is selfishness and not esteeming and preferring others above myself. Those are just some general thoughts for us all to think about as adults and youth and as children. How are we doing in honor, preferring one another? The Bible calls us to live that way. I'd like to just focus just briefly, just have a couple thoughts. I don't know if you call them tips or not, but just some practical consideration for us to think about how can we help our children and our families grow in this area of being considerate, of being kind? How can we help them to become more aware of the needs of other people than their own needs and their own selves? Our children don't naturally come to us being ready to do this. This isn't really born into them, this thing of being kind and considerate. They come to us and they're very helpless. And if they don't have a help of an adult, they won't live. And so we give them everything. We pour our lives into them. But eventually that child will start to grow. And we need to begin to train a child out of that, that they no longer need to have everybody looking out for them, over them, because that's not how life operates. And we have to work hard at that, because it's so ingrained deep within us to care for ourselves first and other people are last. And so our children, all of us, tend to be very selfish. And so we all need to work at this. Doesn't matter what age you are, to be kind and considerate to each other as we live our lives. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so we need to teach our children to be considerate, to be kind, because God expects us to. This is how God wants us to be. And so how much effort am I putting into helping my children grow in this virtue of kindness? Just maybe just a couple thoughts on training. And training is more than just telling, more than just talking. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I just want to read a couple of verses there for us to think about. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll just start in at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And so this morning, this thing of being considerate and kind, it needs to be within us. It needs to be written upon our hearts. And as an adult, as a father, as a mother, and as a youth, if that is not who we are, if that's not the desire of our heart to be kind and considerate, we really don't have a lot of groundwork to build to help others to be that way. And so I need to be that way. And I need to look for opportunities in everyday life to live this out. And if you look for opportunities to be kind to your family, they really abound everywhere, every day, where you can show what it means to be considerate. And how can I, as a dad, be kind? And this is all very simple. We know these things, but we just need to be reminded of it again, that we need to teach by example. We just can't teach by our words. We can tell somebody something, but if we don't live that way, it means basically nothing to them. And so our words only have weight by what we ourselves put out into practice. And so take the opportunities that come to you to be kind, to be considerate of other people. And then take the opportunities that come to your children and help them and instruct them to learn how to relate to that in a considerate and in a kind way. And so training is not only telling, but you lead by example. Another thing about training is that training always has an eye to the future. And so let's just suppose that I would like to train an employee to be a Finnish carpenter to install kitchen cabinets, and he knows basically nothing about that trade. And so he starts working with me, and we start to show him. We show him the basics, and I explain things to him and instruct him, and I show him how it's done. This is how you do this. This is how you put this together. This is how you screw this. This is how you shim this. This is how you read the level, whatever. And he watches you. He's watching it, and you explain careful detail, and then you let him try it. You may supervise him a little bit. You come back and you check up on him, see how he's doing, and you give him some more instructions. Well, why don't you do it this way, or it would work better if you did this. And you give some more instructions. Maybe you have to tell him, well, no, that's not really how you do it. Let's start over again. That's not the correct way. And you give some correction and some help. And we go through that process day after day, week after week, and I can become weary of that. But you need to keep an eye to the future. Why am I going through all this effort to accomplish this? It's because I trust that hopefully soon, but soon maybe 2-3 years, that I will have a dependable Finnish carpenter that can work by my side, that we can work as equals, and I can tell him, you go do this, and I know he'll get it done right because he knows how to do it. But I had to invest time, effort into him to teach him how to do that, because if I was only focusing on today, it would have taken too much time to be bothered by it. But it was more an eye to the future, like, I need a helper, and so I'm willing to invest the time today, so in 5 years from now, we've got somebody that I can depend upon. And that's a lot how it is training children. If you look at it today, you're like, well, I'm sort of tired of it today. Is it really that important? But we got to be thinking further out than just today and this week. It needs to be an eye out into the future. Training, day after day, week after week, month after month. Because we have goals for our children. We have ideals for our children, how we want them to leave our home, what they are equipped with. What have we taught them? What have we invested into them? Year after year, we'll bear fruit in their lives. So a question that we can ask ourselves is, and you probably heard these before, but what kind of man would you want your daughter to marry? And you think about that, what kind of man would you want your daughter to marry, and then train your son to be that kind of man? Don't expect somebody else to do that for your son or for your daughter, but do the work yourself in your own family, in my family. What kind of woman, what kind of girl would you want your son to marry? And you think about that, and you train your girl to be somebody like that. And you think about, well, what kind of skills, what kind of attitudes do I want my children to have? And I know they have choices that they make. But what am I doing investing into them to equip them and to help them when they leave my home that I have endeavored by the grace of God to give them things that will help them as they face life as adults on their own? And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul gives us some more words in verse 16. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Is that how you want your children to leave your home? Perfectly furnished unto all good works. Well, that's my goal. And so as a dad, I'm going to have to work hard at that day after day to train our children to be equipped, furnished unto all good works. Wherever God may call them, that they have a foundation to work off of, that I have given my life to, because it's important to me. And sometimes we just need to be inspired about that. Again, as fathers and mothers, this training will bear fruit for us. And we need to keep going. We need to be faithful. And we need to teach. We need to train. We need to lead by example. It doesn't just happen. And I know we have the mercy of God, and we have the grace of God. We do. But yet God commands us as mothers and fathers to teach and to train and to guide our children. We have a responsibility to do this. And so let's be encouraged to continue on. It's repetition over and over. Consistency again and again, helping them to make new habits, to be kind and not to be selfish. Well, how can you teach your children to be considerate? I just have a couple practical things here that I've thought of. There's lots more, but just things to help us think and help our families grow in. And one way we can help our children to be considerate is to train them to have good manners. And there's a lot of things that this flows into and affects. Some things that we work at in our house is around the table. Are you going to be able to sit on your chair? Are you going to be, you know, rocking it back and forth and tipping it? Are you going to be able to, you know, you're going to talk with food in your mouth? Do I talk with food in my mouth? Are you going to interrupt other people when they're talking at the table? Are you going to be able to sit quietly and wait till they're done before you say your piece? It's just sort of practical things, and don't look necessarily at us for your example, but I'm just trying to help us think, for us all to be benefited by this, to grow, because we like to be around considerate people and kind people and respectful people, and this comes into everyday area of our lives. Maybe you walk up to a young child at church and you say, well, hi, how are you? And you reach out to shake their hand, and they just ignore you. No eye contact. They don't shake hands. And I already made the excuse, well, he's pretty shy. Or they're tired. Or they're not feeling well. Well, all of that may be true. But if a child hears us say that a number of times, they're pretty perceptive of that. And they're going to learn pretty quickly that, you know what, I really am a shy child, and I can be rude. That's an excuse for being rude. If I'm not feeling well, I don't need to be sociable because I'm not feeling well. And while all those things may affect us, there's times that I don't feel well, but that's not an excuse for me to be rude. I still need to be polite and considerate. And so, yes, our child may be very shy, but we will gently encourage them that they will have to overcome their shyness to be polite, because we don't want them to grow up to be a 12-year-old where an adult comes up to them and shakes it and they just ignore them, won't shake their hand like that. We won't want that. And so we, at a young age, begin to work at that. Just gentle correction and instruction. Telling them how to greet other people in a considerate and in a kind way. And a lot of these we just need gentle instruction day after day, just kind instruction. Sometimes a child may need to get spanked if they disobey, but a lot of this just grows day after day as we just are consistently working at it to help a child. This is acceptable. Sometimes you may have to prep them at home or as you're driving somewhere. If you're going to grandma's house, you know grandma's probably going to give them a piece of candy or something, and you say, well, if grandma gives you something, like, what will you say to grandma? Thank you. Right. So you sort of set the stage of what you expect from your child. And so when you get to grandma's house and she gives them something, you look at them and they know right away that I'm supposed to say thank you, right? And so you set that groundwork for a child to know what you expect of them when you go somewhere. If you go to visit an old man, we went to visit Larry Davis and his wife the other week, and I should have instructed my children when we walked into his house, like, what will you do first when we get to his house? Well, you'd shake his hand and say hi, right? That would be respectful for a child to learn to do that. And so those are things that we work with in our families to help them. We go visit, we're going to say, okay, when we get here, we're going to go in and we're going to shake hands and we're going to tell them our names, right? And so you sort of set that groundwork for what happens when you walk inside the door. Sometimes they need to be taught not to interrupt conversations. If you're here visiting at church and my child comes up to me and they're like, dad, well, yeah, they need my attention, right? But they also need to learn that they can't interrupt a conversation. And so you may acknowledge that the child's there. You may have to tell them, just wait, I'm talking right now. And you continue in your conversation. But in a short time, though, you would excuse yourself from the conversation and acknowledge your child. And in doing that over and over again with a child, he begins to recognize, you know what? I really can't interrupt conversations, but I know Dad's considerate of me too, and he will, in a short time, he will answer my question. He will listen to what I need to say. And so it goes both ways. And so we teach that both ways. Help them to understand that they can come up to us. They don't need to interrupt, that I'm aware that they're here. I'm aware they got something they want to tell me. And in just a very short time, I will answer that. But those are things we can help our children to grow in. And sometimes I need to be taught not to interrupt people. Like, people are talking. I don't need to blurt into a conversation. I can just be quiet. I can listen. And I forget what I was going to say, well, then it must have been not that important. So all of this is for all of us. Not to interrupt people, but to learn to be thoughtful. How can we train them to be thoughtful of other people? And I thought about that for a while. And it comes back to this thing of being thoughtful as a parent myself. Like, does my family see me as a thoughtful, considerate dad? Do they hear me talking about other people in that way? Or do they hear me speaking of some people in an inconsiderate, in an unthoughtful way? And if that's true, then I don't have any groundwork to build on. So we need to lead by example. And I've caught myself, yeah, I shouldn't say that. That's not really kind to say that about somebody. And so we just refrain from saying it. And I should learn to speak, see the good points in people and the strengths of other people and look for that. And my family should hear me talking about that instead of what we view as being not the best. Well, there's lots of ways that we can cultivate this thing of being thoughtful in our children. And one way is, you can say, you know, your sister or your mom, she has a birthday coming up soon. Like, why don't you make a card for her? Oh, yeah, make a card for mom. Right. And so they get out of their little world of themselves and begin thinking about their sister, about their mom, and about what she may like, and they color a picture for her. And it sort of helps to get them out of their own little worlds and to think about other people. And you can say, well, grandma is sick today, or grandpa had an operation. Like, let's make some cards for grandpa. And, oh, yes, let's make cards for grandpa, right? And so grandpas and grandmas have lots of little treasures that children give to them. And that's great. Encourage that as dads and moms. Encourage that type of thing. It just helps us all to get our minds off of ourselves and of our own little issues and problems. And we're thinking about somebody else. They have a need. Let's cheer them up. Maybe you say, let's go cut some flowers. And then you decide who to give them to. And so you arrange a vase of flowers and the child decides who they shall give it to. And it's just a way for children to begin to think, like, how can they help other people? How can they bless other people? This isn't all just about my own little self. And then eventually they may start coming to you and say, can I do this for somebody? And can I make a card for somebody? And that you bless that and you encourage that's great. That's what you want. People, they're thinking more than just about themselves now. They're thinking about other people. People that are close to them that they know are maybe having a sick or they're having an operation or something's not going well, or maybe it's because they love them. I mean, grandpa and grandma, who doesn't love grandpa and grandma, right? So I always make a card for grandpa and grandma. But encourage that type of thinking. Just helps them get out of their own little world. Keep your ears open for making fun of other people and mocking other people and putting other people down. Maybe we should have the rule that if you're going to put anybody down, just put your own self down. But it's easy for us to make a comment about somebody or to put somebody else down. But help us all to think about, well, how does that make that person feel? Like, help them think that through. Is that something kind that you should say about that person? Would you like that being said about you? And so you just work at little things every day to help a child break out of their own little world, to be aware of other people in their worlds, and in a childish way help them. Another way we can help them grow in this thing of being considerate is train them to be aware of what's going on around them. And sometimes us as adults don't do well with this either. We can become so engrossed in a conversation that we are oblivious to what's happening just right behind our back or right across the corner. We just aren't aware of what's going on about us. Maybe somebody needs through, but we don't see that because we're not really alert. We're just totally engrossed in a conversation. And it's not necessarily wrong, but we need to be more open and alert to what's happening about us, so we can move out of the way, so we can help somebody else. Maybe we were in a conversation, but maybe somebody needs a hand, and well, let's go give them a hand quickly. We can get back to our talk later, but the types of things as adults we need to work at too. I need to work at of being aware of what's happening about us. And so maybe for children, they're playing toys, and you say, well, let's take the toys from this room into the other room because I need to vacuum that room. You can keep playing, but it's the idea of moving something out of the way for mom to sweep the floor. And eventually that kind of thinking and help will a child become aware, like, oh, mom is sweeping the floor. Let's move these toys out of the way for mom so she can vacuum here, right? And so there's small ways that we work at trying to help them be aware of their circumstances, what's going on around them. Maybe children will run through people that are talking, maybe they'll run through the kitchen where ladies are working. We say, well, let's just stay out of that area because they're working there. Let's keep our activity over here. It's just ways of helping them see, oh, right, because people are in here working. People are talking. This needs to be a quiet space. Let's not run through this space. And it's just ways to help our children become more aware of what's about them, not just aware of what they're doing and where they need to go and what they need to get done, but what's happening about them. And so we watch out for opportunities to help other people. Like, can I hold the door open for you? Can I hold your baby for you so you can do that? Can I help you unload that? There's just things that we can do as adults and children that we're aware of what's going on, that somebody could use our hand, and we're there to help them. And lastly, we need to teach them, train them to share. And obviously, yes, they need to learn to share their toys. They need to learn to take turns. There's a lot of little things we need to teach into our children, how to be sharing and how to be kind. But the challenge again comes back to me as a dad leading in example. Will they see me lead out in this type of generous spirit that I would like to see in my children? Will they see me being generous with my money? Will they see me being generous with my time? Will they know me as a dad that had a generous spirit, looking out for other people and their needs? That may teach them more than our instruction as our example. And so I may loan out a tool to somebody or whatever it may be, and I may do that, but after they leave, I'll be like, well, let's just go buy their own, like it's not that expensive. And if a child hears me says, well, that's not really a generous spirit to talk like that. It's stingy. And so we loan out our tools and we bless other people. It doesn't matter. We have the thing. If they want to use it, that's perfectly fine. We're glad to loan out our things. Let other people have them. It just comes into our daily lives in ways that sometimes we don't think about, the things that we say and the things that we're portraying by our actions and by our words, that our spirits are critical. They're not generous. And I want to grow in that area. And so this morning, our choices speak a lot louder than what our words do. And so what are you living out in your life this morning? How do you live your life? And I'm asking myself that question too. Even a child, the Bible says, is known by his doings. Even a child has a reputation. We all have a reputation, and even children can. What kind of reputation do you want to have? Do you want to have a reputation that is considerate, thoughtful of other people? Is that what you want for your children? Well, then live that way yourself. Cultivate that yourself. Be aware of others and their needs. And live that out. And yes, our children will need instruction and teaching and guidance and help. They will. But we'll just keep cultivating that. Just keep working at that to help them be aware of others and their needs. And so they can grow up to have that desire too, it's not just all about myself. This is how can I serve and help other people? And that is what will make a good disciple for Christ, because Christ has called us. He said he's come He came to serve. He didn't come to be the master, but he came to give his life a ransom for many. And I want to follow in that. I trust these little thoughts can inspire us to continue on in our parenting and in our youth and in our children to be more considerate of each other, especially those who are close to us. That's where the rubber meets the road every day. So may God bless you and give you strength as we continue to strive to be more like Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.